Dear Lord, You're our God, our Creator, and we know that You are in control of all things, even when we're not. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to share about autumn rain, and mostly for what they do, and for the people that are part of it in praying and going. And we just thank You, Lord, for the work of sharing the gospel with those who do not know You. We thank You that we have the encouragement and the support of so many believers that are praying, and for many people in Asia that are part of all the underground networks that we can furnish Bibles to reach people that cannot afford one. And so I ask You to bless this time and help it, Lord, to not be entertainment, but to be information where we can learn on what to pray more for and to be a part of for Your kingdom and for Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a new thing for me because I'm going to see if I can get everything working here. And with this equipment, it's been a test run last night. And so what I'm going to do is get things queued up here so that you can see what's going to be happening with what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And the whole subject tonight, really, it's about three things that are on my heart. And if the computer cooperates, I'll be in business. If not, just give me 1 minute. Last night when I tried to bring this up, it took 30 minutes for things to kind of come together, and then I had to start over, but it all worked out. You have to just hit a couple of these buttons twice. New equipment here, and I'm getting used to a new laptop that I haven't had before. So pray for the equipment to work and my brain to function and coordinate with all of this here. What I want to show you is just some things that, as we look at what pops up on the screen, there's a kind of a delayed reaction with the way the computers are working with the equipment until they get it all fine-tuned. And so if I get a little bit distracted, just pray for me. Here we go. This is just the beginning subject that I wanted to start with about every believer being in the army for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as part of our mission to Asia, it's about not what we do, but it's what God allows us to be a part of. And what God's put on my heart, I'm going to share with you in a little bit. I'd normally introduce Joy and make maybe one of my corny jokes, but it's just, I always like to remember that I have double joy every day of my life. And I may have shared this with you before because I not only have the joy of the Lord, I have joy. And so I like to tease people and say, you know, just to get them awake and loosened up a little bit, that I have something you'll never have. Double joy. But you know one thing about with the Lord, we have joy when we're close to Him and when we're abiding in Him. And we have a peace that passes all understanding. And the world doesn't understand that. And I think part of the other joy is when we go to Asia, we see people that are so hungry for the Word of God and so humble, so loving, so willing to listen and to talk about Jesus Christ. And even though we have a little bit of a language problem, because if I say ni hao or tui po che, you know, it's nice to meet you, hello, and how are you doing? But if I speak just a few words in Chinese, that's about it. It's, but I did get a book from my sons for Christmas, Learn Mandarin. He says, Dad, I think that'll help you. But that Mandarin's not easy. But what I want to focus on is, where are we about this kind of a work? Where are we, not just in Asia, but it always comes to my mind, when I prayed 4 years ago, I asked the Lord to put on my heart what He wanted me to do as I was looking towards retirement in a couple of years. And I thought, well, should I just keep working until I'm 70 or 75 or you know, what should I do? And I'm going to share with you a little bit of my testimony a little later on, but I want to put you to sleep here. So I figured the best thing I could do is just introduce you to the two little videos. They're 5 minutes each, and what typically you may have saw part of one of these a year ago, and this other one is brand new, and then we have the brand new ones that were on the laptops that we put for display, which those actually are about 400 out of 1,800 photographs that we put together just to show what a trip is like. And that's kind of what I call the 9.5-minute version. We have 13-minute versions and 20-minute versions that if a person's interested in going on a trip, you'd probably enjoy seeing all of them because they really show what an Asia team does and what the mission's all about. And it's all about taking Bibles and smuggling them into the communist countries where people, 80% of them go to people who can't afford one, have no means economically of even getting to a big city where they might be able to get one. And the other problem, like in China, is to get a Bible in China, you can usually buy a couple of them in some of the stores in China. But the key is, in the major cities like Beijing and most all your big metropolitan Chinese cities, that's where the Communist Christian Church. Now, that may sound a little unusual, the Communist Christian Church. It's because it is unusual. When you go to that church, you have to sign a contract that you will not talk to anyone under the age of 18 at all, and they're not invited into the Communist Christian Church, what they call the three-self church. They're not allowed to preach about Jesus Christ, His birth, His death, His resurrection, or about eternal life or heaven. So what's left? Not much. And if they don't like what an approved, contracted preacher in the Communist Church says, they pull him out, he's unemployed, and they put their own communist person teaching what's left of the Bible. And so you're getting a lot of history in there, but you're not getting real salvation, and you're missing all about Jesus Christ. And so it's a difficult situation, but it sounds good when they say, oh, there's freedom of religion in China, but there truthfully is not. Half of the provinces in China, if you get caught with the Bible, you'll either be shot, beat, your kids shot, your house burned, fired from your government job, or put in prison. And so, and it's at the option of the local police. It's at the option of the politics of that province. Half the provinces are extremely strict. Half of them are somewhere between moderate to lenient. But that can also change in a heartbeat when the government says, this is the new policy. And so, it's a difficult road to hoe for the Christians in China. It is even tougher in Vietnam, and Laos is one of the top three worst countries for persecution. They had a person who was in a police department in Laos, and last year he escaped with his life. The police found out he was a Christian, and they came to his house and they were going to kill him. But he found out somebody had tipped him off, and he was able to escape and eventually get out of the country, him and his family. But they don't mess around. I mean, it's like instant, non-legal, no defense. It's automatic elimination. And so carrying Bibles into Laos is also more tricky. But it's amazing how creative God's plan works about getting them in. And we've been taking Bibles, you know, with teams. I haven't been part of those teams, but I've talked with several of the fellows in Autumn Rain and part of the teams that come that haul them into Laos. And they do everything from go up to the Mekong Delta, take jet boats 100 miles down the river past the police boats at night, and take them and drop them off at the villages. Then they're couriered to where they go. And so there's all sorts of creative ways of getting the Bibles into these countries, but some are more expensive than others. It basically costs us getting a Bible into these communist countries about $1.75 a Bible. And everyone connected with Autumn Rain, we're all volunteers, self-supporting. And basically, we pay our own way. And some have support from some people a little bit. Most do not. It all comes out of the retirement funds or from people out of their pocket. And it says, what I've found is when God puts something on your heart to serve Him, He also provides a way to do it. And God is always financially better off than we are. And I had an uncle that always said, he says, I don't have to worry about finances with the Lord. He always joked around and said, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Money's not our problem. And, you know, we've come to learn that even when we've crossed the border, we'll cross the border going into China. And I remember this from a year and a half ago, that, you know, the flesh says, I got to try to manipulate something here, and I have to do something to camouflage these Bibles. And so put clothes on them, wrap them up in towels, put them in different things, try to conceal them, you know, and think that you're being clever and tricky. Let me tell you, forget it. Stick to praying and trusting the Lord. Because the one thing is, I found when I did things in the flesh, in the first few trips we ever made smuggling Bibles into communist China, we got busted 5-6 times, something like that. And that was all in a week. You know, well, we were making 2, 3, and 4 trips a day into communist China at that time. And it's about a 2.5 to 4 hour round trip affair. The border opens at 6 in the morning. It closes usually at 11:30 at night. And so there's different times when different shifts in customs, police, and so forth will be there. And sometimes they're more lenient. But from the main southern China city of Shenzhen on the communist side to Hong Kong side, that city has about 300,000 people a morning that cross that border. I mean, it's like the Los Angeles freeway work traffic times 10, only you're all stepping on everybody's toes. And I mean, you're just like a herd of cattle going through 25 rows of customs, checking your passport, checking your visa, you know, you filling out your entry cards, coming and going. And what happens is that technical assistant. What happens is that you never know what's going to happen crossing that border. And what I want to do is, before I get into explaining too much of all of this to you, it's like they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So let me see if I can cue this up and make this happen. Keep praying. I know we tried to bypass the system and get everything to work a different way the other night, so then we had to restructure the whole thing, change my laptop when I was just getting comfortable. Now, to tell you what this one talks about what is going on with Autumn Rain. This tells you about where we're taking the Bibles, a little bit about what a trip is like, and kind of the mission itself. So get ready for a little Asia team mission trip, and you'll see what happens and what it's all about.
Asia, a mystical land on a distant shore, a place of rich culture and history. India, China, home to a billion souls. All across Asia, people are living and dying without Jesus. It is here in Asia, strategically located, near where the needs are greatest, that Autumn Rain has been reaching out to persecuted Christians in the surrounding countries for over a decade. Our mission is to forge solidarity with believers affected by poverty and oppression. By getting them the help they need, they can effectively reach the lost in their own communities and beyond. Autumn Rain is helping to change the course of history. You can be part of the mighty move of God in this part of the world.
In China, there are 80 million Christians, and at least half of them still do not have a Bible to read. We have volunteers come from all over the world to help us carry Bibles from Hong Kong into China. For every Bible that gets into China, 5 people come to know Jesus. This is a practical way that we can change history and impact eternity.
All you need is 2 weeks, 2 feet, 1 passport, a plane ticket, and a heart to serve. Autumn Rain will take care of the rest. Your accommodation, visas, luggage, the Bibles, and a thorough briefing for all volunteers. You'll come to be a blessing, but you'll go home enriched and blessed yourself. Life will never be the same. You'll never be the same.
Since we got underway in 1996, we've shipped over 1 million Bibles, and now God is opening up doors for us to carry Bibles in Laos and Vietnam and North Korea, and we're just getting started.
If you can carry a suitcase, you can do this job.
Freedom of religion is under threat in many countries around the world today. Autumn Rain connects with believers across Asia where there's opposition to Christianity to find out their needs and help supply the solution. In Vietnam, the Church of Vietnam is thriving. In distant hill tribe regions where whole villages have accepted Christ, the persecution is particularly severe. The church in Vietnam needs at least 500,000 Bibles. Autumn Rain is determined to meet this need. Autumn Rain volunteers fly direct to Vietnam, their heavy suitcases packed with loaves of the living bread that satisfies the deepest hunger.
We arrived in Vietnam last night. We had no problems at the border crossing. Right here in the city, some of the people can get Bibles, but in the countryside, especially in the minority areas, it's really hard for believers to get the Word of God. What they will do is take them out to the countryside, to the remote provinces where there's a great need for Bibles, and there's lots of persecution. If you can imagine yourself being a tourist for Jesus, you can help get the Word of God to the people in Vietnam and make a big difference in their life.
In Laos. Laos is a poor country with one of the most oppressive communist governments in the world. Autumn Rain couriers bring Bibles across the border to Christians who must hide their faith because of the threat of execution or torture.
Laos has 6 million people, and it is one of the world's poorest countries. This country is often forgotten by the world. It is 1-2% Christian, and it is one of the top 10 most persecuted nations on earth. God has not forgotten this country. It needs Bibles and evangelists.
In North Korea, Pyongyang in North Korea was once known as the Jerusalem of the Orient. 1/3 of the population was Christian. Today, the enemy has North Korea locked down under a communist dictatorship. A free North Korea, joined with the 13 million Christians in South Korea, would be a global force to be reckoned with. These Asian Christians are the unsung heroes of the gospel story, who are standing for Christ in places where persecution and poverty are real issues. They are ordinary people doing extraordinary things because they worship the God who makes all things possible, even in places where such worship is a crime. For the sake of our own spiritual health, we need them as much as they need us. Autumn Rain crosses borders, bridges political divides, spans socio-economic barriers, and pushes aside dangerous apathy to reach these people. For the sake of the gospel, join us.
this gives you a little bit of an idea. The fellow talking, Doug, he challenged us about wanting to help be representatives for autumn rain in the United States. And the people that have been doing it the last 15 years were getting up in years and weren't able to continue and had some things in their family that they had responsibility for. And so he says, Don, would you be willing to step in and help us in getting the word out to churches in the United States? And after praying about this, actually, Joy and I had been praying and asking the Lord to just show us what was it that you'd like us to do. And Doug is someone that is a remarkable person. He learned Chinese from a fellow that he started smuggling Bibles with 26 years ago. He's now 51. And he and his wife met in Hong Kong smuggling Bibles and were on a team. And that goes back about 26 years. And it's amazing how God has brought people together, that what a trip like that does and how it changes your heart. And what I want to show you next is this particular next little five-minute DVD. It's all about a different way of thinking about your life. It's about asking yourself, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I want you to think about this in the light of two things. Lord, where do you want me to maybe serve you in a different way? And what I like about seeing things from a different perspective is it spoke to my heart about, Lord, I want my life to count for you. And to me, rather a person says, well, Don, you know, there's just no way I could get on a team and go there. Well, my prayer is that for everyone who hears this presentation, they take their life to the Lord and say, Lord, not just Asia, but in America. What can I do right with my own family, right in my own neighborhood, right in Baytown, right in Texas, with people I know in my center of influence? What can I do to be more effective with my life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And my prayer is kind of what my theme is for this kind of a talk. It's about prayer. It's about a passion and about a purpose. And what I prayed 4 years ago, which if we have time, I'll share my testimony about that a little bit. And it's about when I prayed and asked the Lord 4 years ago, Lord, I feel like I'm not really sure what you want me to do, but I know that I need direction and I need to get a focus on serving you. And I knew that I had a burden that was growing for people who didn't know Jesus Christ. And I know that I didn't feel like I was really equipped to adequately share about Jesus Christ in the way I wanted to. And so the first thing God brought into my life was someone who was a real good mentor on evangelism and sharing the Word of God in a non-threatening, non-offensive, loving way, but very firmly about where anybody stands. And it broke down to where it's kind of like another pastor friend of ours. He said, here's my quick message about salvation. You know, there's sin and there's righteousness and God's standard. Where do you stand? What is life's most important question? My relationship with Jesus Christ. Do I know Him or not? Am I serving Him or not? Am I being all I could be? Well, I wanted my life to count. And what really came to my mind was that as I thought about retiring in a few years, I thought, I don't want to retire to just kick back and enjoy things around me. Lord, I want my life to count for you. But I'll stop it there, and then I'll pick it up in just a few minutes. I want to show you this one little video, and I think this will be challenging for two reasons. When you look at this video, especially the beginning, Alan, one of our Asia team players, team members, he took our photographs and created this and brought it over to the house about 60 days ago, roughly. He said, now look, Don Joyce sat on the couch. I want you to watch this. But he said, don't judge it. He says, don't say a word. Just watch it. And just let me know what you think. And well, you know, that was a pretty good challenge. And so when you watch this video, my prayer again is that it'll speak to your heart about priority, about prayer, about passion for Jesus Christ. Because where I was at, honestly, it bothered me that I didn't have the passion I felt I should have to serve Jesus Christ and be where God wanted me to be. And I think that the one thing is I realized at that point I had never seriously prayed and asked the Lord to show me what He wanted me to do. I mean, we know from the Ten Commandments to abiding in Christ and growing in Christ and have a wonderful teaching like Pastor Roy, we know what we're supposed to do. But we can get so busy in life, planning for retirement, having a family, careers, education. We can get so sidetracked with life that we miss the purpose for which Jesus Christ came. Let me get going before I turn this into a message. And so,
for every Bible that gets into China, five people come to know Jesus.
We need Bibles.
could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost. Through his love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can change. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people?
I want to correct one thing that Doug, when he made that statement, that was 8 years ago, that for every Bible that gets into these communist countries, a minimum of 5 people within 6 to 12 months come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that number now is ranging between 20 and 60 people per Bible, because they're cutting the Bibles up, spreading them around between villages and families. And to give you an idea, we have 500,000 Bibles we're backordered on right now to China alone. We're backordered 15,000 Bibles in Laos, and we're about 10,000 short to fund about an $80,000 printing bill to get the Laotian Bibles reprinted. In Vietnam, there's a shortage of about 100,000 plus just in the Vietnamese language. The Hmong language, that one, we're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 30,000 short there. There's many different Hmong tribes, and I want to, before I get going any further here, I want to show you kind of a short clip that our friend Alan, I'm thankful, was able to take when we were in the home of an underground pastor. And it was really an interesting situation, because this pastor, he was a pastor over 17 underground churches in the mountains in Vietnam. And when we went to his house, out of their poverty, he had every kind of fruit, of which I only knew about one out of about, I don't know, 6 or 8 different fruits that he had right there that he was treating us to. And 2 bottles of Pepsi, and ice is a little scarce around there. And so he wanted to show his gratitude for the load of Bibles that we had brought in to him. And God blessed, we were able to take about 1,300 Bibles into the Hmong tribes and to the Vietnamese on that particular load going into Saigon the end of November. We were able to do about 5,000 Bibles on our team that we hauled into China on that trip. And when we left the States, we loaded our suitcases, which is as much the legal limit would allow, which was basically, I think we had somewhere around 440-some Bibles in our suitcases. And those we flew into Hanoi. Well, we try to make every trip count. But the blessing of this from prayer, we were not busted. And if you took our whole team, we made about 120 trips into the communist countries across the border hauling Bibles. And not one of us were busted and lost a Bible. Not one. And the neat thing was we got into Saigon Airport, and Alan, our photographer friend, he was the only one stopped. And to tell you how God answers prayer, the scanners were broken. And so they weren't scanning our suitcases. And so for some reason they chose Alan, a retired engineer. You know, Alan gets pulled aside. They said, your passport. The customs police take his passport. He's standing there for 20 minutes at least. And we have security measures that we take. So if one person gets stopped or detained, then we go to certain places. And everything is scheduled, organized, and quite safe. Because no one with an American passport has had a problem in Vietnam for about 12, 15 years. And so, and I think the last time they had a problem there, the person was detained overnight and then released the next morning. Because, you see, Vietnam is kind of like a junior China. They do not want problems with American trade. They don't want a bad reputation and bad press. And so they'll let things go. The other side of the coin is, there's really not, as we can find out, there's not really a law that says you cannot bring Bibles into China. But they have what they call a policy where you're only allowed to bring in two per person, per trip. Well, I have been stopped and questioned, and they say, well, you know, we notice here, boy, it's the end of the day. This is your third trip into China today. what are you doing? I said, we have a lot of gifts that we take to friends. And I said, that's one thing. And after I show you this little clip, this one is what it's all about. And I'm glad we got this on film because it summarizes the whole thing about what we do.
Well, we need teams to come in. To bring them in.
Because they're not much in front of them.
So you need more moms.
We need Bibles.
Now, on this, the whole thing is this fellow, Mr. Sang, I want to just tell you a little story about him because this is quite interesting. He's about 40 years old. His wife, I think Jenny's about 31. Jenny's father was a general for the Viet Cong with over 1,000 slaughter battles against the United States. He was an atheist of atheists. He, when his wife came to know Jesus Christ, there was tough times in the family. But then Jenny came to know Jesus Christ. And then her father got cancer. And boy, whenever a former general in Vietnam has a medical problem and he goes to the hospital, he has 24-hour squads of protection. And so here's a guy that had a lot of clout in the communist government. He told his wife, he said, you know, I'm going to die. He said, I'll tell you, if your God is real, and if He heals me tomorrow on Christmas Day, and this was about 10 years ago, he says, if God heals me of my cancer and I live, I'll give my life to Jesus Christ. A lot of people were praying. The next day, when the doctors checked him, it was either Christmas afternoon or that night, the doctor said, how come you're feeling so much better? The cancer was gone. He didn't die. And he committed his life to Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you, when we're over there, you think, does God answer prayer? And does God truly heal as he did 2,000 years ago? Well, that's a big area of concern. But I can tell you this. I've heard firsthand from enough underground pastors and from co-workers and the people there in these communist countries about unbelievable things that have happened with the shaman witch doctors of a village, to families coming to know Jesus Christ, to an entire village of 80 or 100 people coming to know Jesus Christ after the gospel message was shared with them on a 50-foot scroll showing from creation to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and all of that being explained to them, and seeing a village come to know Jesus Christ and to the understanding of who Jesus is and what he did, that they no longer needed a shaman, that they no longer needed to believe in having a head, a chest, and a stomach spirit. You see, the animist worshipers in a lot of these countries, when you look at Muslim, Buddhism, Hinduism, animism, in animism, they believe that they have three spirits. And they feel if they don't give the shaman a pig, a chicken, or crops, or money, or something, that they're going to get sick, or they're going to be cursed, or the evil spirits are mad at them if they get sick. And they do a lot of weird stuff. But once they come to know Jesus Christ, it's like automatically the weird stuff goes away. The culture remains the same. They're going to dress the same. But all of a sudden, even the police in Vietnam say, we have noticed that when someone comes to know Jesus Christ and is a Christian, all of a sudden, we don't have a problem with them drinking anymore. We don't have a problem with them in their village. We know who's in control. Well, this basically ends the slide part of what I wanted to show you tonight in these short videos. And I hope that in your looking at this, that this is something that just speaks to your heart. If I can figure out how to turn this off. What I wanted to share with you, I think we have a little bit of time. I wanted to end early tonight, being since it's a Tuesday work night. But I wanted to share with you really about the lives of three individuals and just take a minute on each one. One was the general and the impact that had on Sang, our co-worker in Saigon area. Sang is our main contact in Saigon. He works with about 400 underground pastors in all of southern Vietnam. This guy's on fire for the Lord. He and his wife couldn't have children, they thought. So he started taking in and adopting children. They have 17 children. But after they had about, I think, three or four, then she became pregnant. But then God put it on their heart to not stop. And so They have two beautiful, sweet young children right now that we met and had dinner with one night, and they have 15 others. But then what happened was the people in the community saw that they were reaching out and helping the orphan children, families, that they had to work in the fields, the coffee plantations, and the labor, and were gone a lot, and had no one to watch their kids. So now they have a day school with a total of 31 kids in their orphanage day school, teaching them about Jesus Christ and English and loving them. And that's saying. Now, I want to tell you about saying just because this guy is so on fire for the Lord that he, like one other I'll share with you, and that's Hansen. Hansen is our Chinese national who risked his life for Jesus Christ 7 days a week. He's our main shipping communicator contact that with all the Bibles that go into southern China, he ships them throughout, border to border, basically, north, south, east, and west, 3,000 miles, 1,000 miles, to all the underground churches, to all the believers that request them at no charge. And on an average, it costs us about $1.75 now to ship these Bibles on an average all over China. Well, I have letters from people, emails from people, photographs from people that have received the Bibles. And last year, we were able to get almost 100,000 Bibles again into China. But we had request for almost 400,000 Bibles. And that's just China. And so, you know, Lord, I think you've got my work cut out for me. We need 1,000 churches. We need 100 goers. But, you know, God knows all that. God knows everything that's needed. And the one thing God has proven to us, God will provide in His perfect timing the people. And again, I want to emphasize, whether you can pray, give, or go, or help send someone else, or just be a prayer warrior. I can't tell you the three things. In fact, I will tell you. The three things that they tell us every time when we leave a village or leave a city and meet with an underground believer or pastor. They ask us, one, will you come back? Will you bring us more Bibles? Will you please go back to America and tell everyone you meet that prays and remembers us and helps to get the Bibles you bring in? Will you please thank them and tell them that, and this is specifically from every believer, whether it's India, Nepal, Vietnam, China. In China, they add one more thing. And they are putting together from the underground church. And they said they'll have enough money in 2 more years or less to send 2,000 Chinese to America. Because you know what the burden is on their heart? They want to help bring America back to God. And they want to be part of a revival in America. Now you're talking about people that make $25 to $150 a month. And our welfare system here, they would be a king in China in the rural farm areas with what we get here just from government or unemployment. And so the whole thing is, what they tell us is, out of their poverty, they're so burdened equally. And I can relate to that because God's put a burden on my heart equally for people that are lost in this country, people that are coming into this country, as well as Asia. And other missionary friends of mine that are in the Middle East and other places around the world. But what they tell us is, it is a concern to them because they say if America falls, they said, it'll probably go communist within 30 years. And they said, we know the only hope for China is for us to bring the people in government to know Jesus Christ. And so they have a double burden too for the lost in their country and in America. And that's what's on our heart. And that's why we're taking Bibles into these people who never would have the money to afford one and would not know Jesus Christ if it wasn't for believers here. And also for another organization that's in Holland, the Christians in Holland and their association, they supply at no charge about a third of the Bibles we get into Hong Kong. And at this point, the American Bible Society, we have actually three major contributors that furnish Bibles, but it doesn't meet the demands. It doesn't meet the needs. And so I just wrote down that what's on our heart is to pray and to ask the Lord, Lord, if I don't have the passion you want me to have, then give me a passion to reach people for Jesus Christ right here. And I say, pray, become equipped, and become involved. And that's my challenge. Because I look back 4 years ago, and when I prayed, a verse came to my mind, Matthew 6:33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I thought about our team verse that we've had the last couple of years, Joshua 1:9, which Pastor Roy, I love it when that one shows up. It warms my heart. You know, but in the version, with the different versions, it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage and be not afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, or in the King James, whithersoever thou goest. And so, you know, it's just either way, I want to go. And I know who's going to take care of us and who's going to meet our needs. And so the other thing we're looking for is people to not only go, but if you think God puts it on your heart to where you may want to go over there and be an intern in the office for a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, we could probably use at least two or three more of those. And you talk about an adventure of a lifetime. I tell you, this kind of an adventure will change your heart and your mind. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share what you put on our hearts, which is your purpose and the reason that you came. As you said in Luke 19:10, you came to seek and to save those that are lost. And help us to have a burden like we've never had before, to reach people around us. And I think of the number that on this earth there's about 160,000 people a day that are dying. And how many do not know you? So Lord, help us mold our lives to count for your sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for coming tonight. And you know what? If you wonder about this shirt, why it's a little bit weird, this is called a Vietnamese celebration shirt. And when there's a special occasion, they wear this kind of shirt. So I had to get one. But what I didn't realize was, in Vietnam, when they say it's a large, they really mean it's a large if you're Vietnamese. So if you go to Vietnam and buy a shirt, always get one size bigger and check it out. Yeah, I could almost sleep in this one, but these, it has the Chinese buttons, which, you know, most all the Asian countries, That's their style.